D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5. The game. Gang's all here. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you live in studio. The Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie flew in from St. Louis at 3 a.m. last night. Boy, are his arms tired.
Just to be on the show.
Just to be on the show.
It's all good. It's all good.
But the Predators,
you win,
they're rolling.
You feel good.
Yes, the
you can
Predators.
Deal with a little travel issue, but that's okay. No problem.
The Predators are rolling. Winners of 7 of their past 10. Predators GM Barry Trotz will join us at 5 o'clock for his weekly chat. Trevor Maddich, ESPN analyst, will join us during the 4 o'clock hour. We also have yet another pair of tickets to the Music City Bowl to give away during the show. I will soon let you know exactly when we will be giving away those tickets. We do have a trivia question associated with these Music City Bowl tickets. So if you missed out on them yesterday, you can try to win those tickets again today. A pair of tickets to the Music City Bowl, Tennessee versus Illinois at Nissan Stadium on Tuesday, December 30th. But let's start the show with the team that usually plays at Nissan Stadium, the Tennessee Titans. And if you go to the standings page on your preferred website, NFL.com, ESPN.com, you can start to see that the NFL playoff picture is taking shape with three weeks left in the season. And when you look at the projected seeds, guys, there are a lot of unfamiliar teams, at least unfamiliar in recent years. The Denver Broncos are in the driver's seat for the number one seed in the AFC. The New England Patriots, who won 4 games last season and lost to the Titans last season, are right behind the Broncos at number 2 with an 11-3 record. In the NFC, the Chicago Bears, who won 5 games last season, are the number 2 seed in the conference and leading the NFC North. And what do these three teams have in common, meaning the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Bears? It wasn't long ago that they were all bottom feeders, just like the Titans are right now. And those teams went out and found coaches in Sean Payton, Denver, Mike Vrabel, New England, and Ben Johnson, Chicago, who helped engineer those turnarounds. But is it as simple as that? And how replicable are those teams' turnarounds? That is what we are going to discuss to start the show. Is a Titans turnaround as simple as hiring the right coach? Mike Herndon of PaulGaharski.com posted this the other day. The Broncos, Bears, and Patriots seasons should be pretty inspirational for Titans fans. Those teams were where the Titans are now very recently. They went out and hired good coaches and have turned things around very quickly. It doesn't have to be a 4 to 5 year thing. So let's start by asking the question this way, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the Titans coaching hire, how much influence do you think that can realistically have on turning this franchise around?
I mean, the NFL has already told you. It means a lot. Look at Denver and where they were. They had to basically take majority of a contract and hold it. They were left because they cut or traded. What did they do? Trade a cut on Russell Wilson? They were on the hook for, what, $70 million? Somewhere around there. So this team gave up draft picks. They had to continue to pay a quarterback that was no longer on their team. They were in a hole because he was no longer on their team. So they had to, you know, take on the dead money.
$85
million. $85 million. And in a matter of 2 years after going to get Sean Payton, and listen, I'm not a big fan of Sean Payton, just not.
Why is that?
He rubbed the whole thing he did with the last coach when they left out of there.
Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, Nathaniel Hackett. Yeah. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett wasn't a bad coach, but that's a fraternity. And you don't go at somebody the way he did. And then the way they went at it the way they went about things with Russell Wilson, making it seem like it was all his doing or his fault. But anyway, in a matter of 2 years, he's gotten that team with the number one seed, I believe they have right now.
Yeah. Yes, at 12-2.
The number one seed. So when the question is asked, is it as simple as hiring the right guy? Probably not, but in Denver's situation, in Chicago's situation, and in New England's situation, what did they do? Basically, change the head coach and got them a quarterback, and look where those three teams are at right now.
The quarterback piece is big. It's the coach and the quarterback. I would say it's a little more complex. It's not as simple as that tweet, because the Broncos they've got it wrong a few times, right? From the time they won the Super Bowl 10 years ago, they had not made the playoffs since, until last year they snuck in there, and now they're really good. Man, they're playing well right now. They are fun to watch. They're entertaining. Every game's close. They're finding ways to win all the close games. I don't know if they're a dominant team, but they've got something going for sure. But like Vance Joseph, he was a failed head coach. He's now the defensive coordinator. He might get another job out of this. So I think there was a lot of building involved. They drafted the right quarterback with the right coach. And so I think it's a great question to debate. I just don't know if it's as simple as that.
Denver was 5-12 right before Sean Payton arrived. The Broncos have gone 8-9, 10-7, and now are 12-2 under Sean Payton. By the way, Willie, to answer your question, the Broncos are 12-2. They are 10-2 in close games. Mm. So they are winning by razor-thin margins. Their average margin of victory is 7 points, basically. So good for them. The Broncos have an elite defense. But there are a lot of factors that go into a turnaround. You touched on a big one, which we will touch on, the quarterback. But first, let's go to Chad on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chad, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, loving the show. The thing that kind of is curious is there's a little bit of a delay. There's a little bit of a delay. I don't know if y'all have heard that one, but Sean Payton, you left out the big key right there with Sean Payton. He was suspended for an entire season for the bounty gate on Brett Favre in the NFC Championship game. He literally was convicted of paying his players and supporting Greg Williams bounty gate, where any shot on Brett Favre or had certain dollar figures on it, which is barbaric. I mean, say what you want about Brett Favre, but look at the health problems he has now, and you can trace some of it back to a lot of things, of course. But Sean Payton, he left out the biggest thing right there. He suspended for an entire season. That's what kind of guy that is. So I'm with you. I'm not a fan.
Thank you for the call, Chad.
Not a fan is one thing, but
that was more than 10 years ago. Yeah. As well.
He is a good coach. He was suspended, but the Saints took him back. That's how much they thought of that. You know, it was. And I'm not saying that was a big thing.
It was.
We all remember that
at the time.
But yes. I don't think there's any doubt he is a very good coach, and he's got he selected the right quarterback, and he has a good defense. You start piecing these things together, you got a chance. It's so fleeting in the NFL. There are good coaches that they get the wrong quarterback, and now they're in trouble. So Sean Payton, what's he always had? He had Drew Brees for all those years. Now he's got Bo Nix, who's pretty good. And he's making something of it.
Let's go to our friend Mark in Nashville on our phone line. Mark, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
How you doing, Adam, Willie, D-Mate?
We're good.
What's going on, Mark?
How you doing today?
We're good.
We're doing good.
Okay. Yeah, let me get that out the way. I'll get to you later, Willie. Adam, y'all were talking about things in common with these coaches. Well, if you remember, I was trying to get that in yesterday. Drake May struggled his first year as a rookie. But lo and behold, he got Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel in there. Mike Vrabel made an excellent pick bringing in Josh McDaniels, Super Bowl winning OC, to get Drake May to the point he's at now in the MVP conversation. Ben Johnson comes in and gets Caleb Williams. Look what he's done with Caleb Williams. But Chicago had good players around anyway with DJ Moore and some other guys on that roster. So they were good anyway. All they just needed was a coach to get them over the top. And I'm not a big fan, D-Mace, of Sean Payton either. Good coach, but it's just something about him I don't really like. I understand that. But he is a good coach. Mm-hmm. But the Titans, why I say this all the time, it's imperative they get a offensive guy in there to get Cam where he needs to go to. The only difference with Cam doesn't have the good playmakers around him on that roster right now. The receivers they got, they are young. They will learn. They will get better. But that's the big difference with Cam. He's got to get some more playmakers, some more guys in there to get them over the top. And like I said yesterday, I think Cam will be okay. But, Willie, before I go, I wanted to make a correction about something I said to you the other day. I wasn't taking a dig at you. I was taking a dig at your Met because it's just something I love. That's just something I love doing, Willie. I mean,
hey, you take a dig at the Mets, you're digging at me. You want to get to the Mets, okay. You got to go through me, Mark. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know, Willie. I know. But no, Willie, I got utmost respect for all y'all.
Look, we got problems. We got problems. The Mets have problems, Mark.
Thank you for the call, Mark.
You don't have to tell me.
But it's also a good thing that the Titans aren't trying to hire Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Derek doesn't quite like.
But would you take him? Would you take him? Like, that's the thing. Would you hire for lack of a better term, the jerk coach. Is Mike Vrabel on some days can be the jerk coach.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But he can run the program. The Patriots are really fascinating to me in this discussion, too, because the quarterback is playing well. We have to realize that the Patriots have benefited from an extremely favorable schedule.
Perhaps the most favorable?
The most favorable. I don't think it's debatable.
I believe they have the easiest strength of schedule.
So the playoffs are going to tell us a lot about where they are.
I saw what happened last week against the Bills.
I still think that they are overachieving it. A lot of that does have to do with Mike Vrabel's ability to build a culture. Mm-hmm. And I think Peyton, there are certain guys that can rise above the pack and are good at that. And that's why I think the number one trait of the next coach is not the offensive whiz or the defensive whiz. It's who can build the culture?
Mm-hmm. One texter, Julian, says, is the ownership of those three teams as jacked up as ours is?
I'm not sure. I don't know the ownership structure.
Well, we know about Robert Kraft.
Yes.
And there's a word in there in your text that I'm not going to repeat that might have something to do with Robert Kraft. But I'm sorry. I'm being juvenile here. Read between the lines, guys. I don't know enough about the Broncos and Bears ownership groups or owners to really have an opinion on that. But, of course, ownership does play a role in this as well. We know that because the owner has to be on board with the new coach. And we've seen Amy Adams Strunk and company in recent years make some quizzical hiring decisions. So I understand Titans fans who are concerned about ownership's role in hiring the new coach. But the quarterback, look, there's another team we can throw into here that wasn't mentioned. You know, they're also a playoff team. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. The Jaguars have gone from 4-13 to 10-4 under Liam Cohen. And Trevor Lawrence, as of late, has looked incredible. I think three of his best performances have been in the past 3 weeks statistically. So Is Trevor Lawrence finally getting a hold on what Liam Cohen wants to do? Was Liam Cohen the key to Trevor Lawrence all along after Doug Peterson and the ill-fated Urban Meyer decision? So there are multiple teams who were in the Titans' shoes just even a season ago that have completely turned things around. But I'm wondering how replicable it is.
I think it can be done because you look at these three situations. And the most important, I think, relationship in every situation here is the quarterback and the head coach / play caller, or the quarterback and the offensive coordinator. Just look at each and every one of these teams. You got Denver, Bo Nix. Obviously, Sean Payton is the head coach and OC. I'm sure that relationship is a relationship where, you know, Bo Nix can grow and he can get, or he has gotten, you know, the best out of Bo Nix at this point, and he will continue to get better under Sean Payton because they both are on the same page. You look at New England and Josh Daniels. Josh Daniels, he may not be a good head coach, but he's a hell of a play caller. And he's got that relationship with Drake May that seems to be profitable, that seems to have Drake May even growing faster you know, this season than he did last season as far as developing. And then you go to Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. They wrote off Caleb Williams last year. They were writing him off, busting everything else. Lo and behold, here comes Ben Johnson. And that relationship that they forged has been beneficial for Caleb Williams. He's become a much better quarterback. Is he a finished product? More than likely not, but he's become a better quarterback. But each and every one of these situations, it's the relationship between the quarterback and the head coach slash play caller.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Is a Titans turnaround as simple as hiring the right coach? We've seen the Broncos turn it around quickly. The Bears, the Patriots, the Jaguars recently made coaching changes, and those teams have skyrocketed from the bottom of the standings to the AFC and NFC playoff picture. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation and take your reaction coming up next. But in the meantime, it's bowl season, and the Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoff presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Today on Sports Talk 830, Troy takes on Jacks State at 8 p.m. in the Veterans Bowl. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgames.
Yeah, I think we're ready. I think we've played teams that have a bunch of wins. We play teams that don't. We've played close games. We played games where we've beaten teams by a lot. We've played, you know, teams where we had to win with special teams, offense, defense, whatever case, running ball, whatever case. And so I feel that we're ready for just about anything, hot weather, cold weather, whatever the case may be. We're gonna go out there and go out there and fight. I do know that, and I like our chances, us versus anybody.
That was Caleb Williams recently. The Bears are killing it this season. 10-4 after going 5-12 last season. They made what looks to be a great coaching hire in Ben Johnson, the former Lions offensive coordinator. And we're wondering here if the Titans can do – if the Titans can engineer a similar turnaround simply by hiring the right coach.
I don't think the Bears belong in this category.
Okay.
Because, first of all, the Bears, and I would put the Bears and the Jags in the same category. Mm-hmm. They should be winning eventually. They pick high every year. The Titans are still relatively new to the top of the draft. They've got some building to do. The Bears are behind schedule. And even so, I do think they've made a good hire. This coach is good. But here's a couple of things about the Bears. They beat the Ravens in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson wasn't there. It was, what's his nickname?
Pro Bowler, Tyler Snoop Huntley. Yeah.
Snoop Huntley. Snoop Huntley.
Pro Bowler.
They beat the Bengals in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Who was their quarterback? It wasn't Joe Burrow. It was Joe Flacco. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Big win. Who was their quarterback?
Mason Rudolph?
Mason Rudolph was the quarterback. So they've caught some breaks, okay? And they're improved, but they should be winning. They've been picking high for a long time.
Well, wouldn't you put the Patriots in that category as well? Don't they have the easiest schedule in the league?
I would. And so I think both things can be true. I think it's the right coach, right team, but it's a razor's edge. And these teams have struggled for a long time. Patriots, that's why I wouldn't put the Patriots there. But the Jags and the Bears are struggling franchises. The Broncos struggled for a good while before they turned it around. Do they have the right coach? Yes. But you got to have the right players as well. And you have to have some things fall your way.
So you think, Willie, mm-hmm. that the Broncos are the most stable of these teams we're discussing? The realist, for lack of a better term?
As stable as you can be in this league, because I do think Knicks was just a great pick. He's a low first-round pick that has been really good, and you couple that with a very good defense and a very good coach, and you're seeing success. But you mentioned how often they're winning the close games. Mike Vrabel went on a run there. Mm-hmm. Remember a few years ago, D-Mace, where they couldn't lose a close game, that all of a sudden it turned. It does turn on you sometimes.
Yeah, it does. And listen, The most important thing, like I said, is the quarterback and offensive coordinator slash head coach relationship. Now, in each one of these situations, each team had talent. How much talent? I mean, it can vary across the board. But I think if you're looking at it, possibly the Chicago Bears were the most talented team. If you're talking offense, with the playmakers that they had that was already on the team prior to, you know, Ben Johnson getting there. Yes, you have to have players, but I think you that coach is the guy that can sort of ignite those players. We saw it with Mike Vrabel here. You're seeing it now with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams was a good talent, amazing talent coming out of college. But for some reason, he couldn't make that jump that first year. Then you bring in Ben Johnson. All of a sudden, now he looks like the Caleb Williams that we thought he was going to be coming out of college. It's the same thing with Trevor Lawrence. It took Trevor a minute, but it seems like they got the perfect guy matched up with him, and now he's unlocked, you know, that thing within him. You look at Peyton and Bo Nix, that relationship, him being able to unlock and that coaching staff developing those other players around him. Because you can have good players if you don't have the right people developing them, you're not going to get anything out of it. And I think that's where the Titans are at this point. They have guys, I believe young guys, that if you develop them the right way, they can be players for this team. But the key word is developing them.
Bo Nix is the quarterback who stands out to me as we are talking about these teams that have undergone these turnarounds. Think about the quarterbacks we're discussing. Caleb Williams, Drake May, Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix, and we're going to throw Cam Ward in there because he's the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. And I'm reminded of an article we referenced so many times leading into the NFL draft from Matt Miller of ESPN.com. He, with the help of league people, ranked the top quarterback prospects between 2020 and 2025 based on their pre-draft grades, basically. Let me tell you where the quarterbacks we're discussing fell on that list. Caleb Williams, number one. Trevor Lawrence, number two. Drake May, number five. Bo Nix, number 17. Cam Ward, number 18, by the way, out of 21. So Bo Nix directly in front of Cam Ward. And Derek, you know this from personal experience. What is a young quarterback's best friend?
An offensive line or running back or a tight end?
On the other side of the ball.
Oh, defense, yes. I thought you were talking about an offense.
I'm sorry.
An elite defense.
An elite defense, yes. Which the Denver Broncos have.
Absolutely.
They have an elite defense. Your Ravens, with Joe Flacco as a rookie, had an elite defense. Mm-hmm. That helps. But I'm wondering about Bo Nix and how Sean Payton has been able to get the most out of him. By all accounts, Nix's performance this past weekend was the best of his NFL career. But, Derek, we talked about this last week when we were discussing Cam Ward's inaccuracy. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about how Sean Payton and the Broncos did the right things with Bo Nix. It was a lot of schemed-up yardage for Bo Nix last season. That was your point, and we can reiterate that. So the Titans do not have an elite defense, but I'm wondering if the next coach can maybe take something out of the Broncos playbook in helping to develop Cam Ward, because Nix, where was he drafted? 11th, 10th, 11th, 12th, mm-hmm. in that range. I remember a lot of people being bewildered by that selection. Like Bo Nix, he's a good quarterback. I'm not sure he was a first round talent, and I think he's proven a lot of people wrong. Now, Cam Ward was the number one overall pick. But I'm wondering, Derek, if there are elements of how Sean Payton has developed Bo Nix that the next Titans coach can use to develop Cam Ward.
I think there is. First, and you spelled it out, you know, if you can, get you a defense. Get you a defense that's not going to give up plus 20 points. Because if you have a defense that's giving up plus 20 points, you're not going to win many games. Unless your offense is just the top offense in the National Football League or a top 10 offense. So first and foremost, yes, I think it can be duplicated, but how long would it take? And meaning on the defensive side of the ball, how long will it take? Will it take next season, or will it take the season after that? So that would help Cam. But what Denver did is they took their offense and they made sure that Bo Nix got the ball out of his hand quickly, that he had a lot of quick reads, moving him around in the pocket, doing things that were to his strength. Coaches have said
using him as a runner.
Exactly. Coaches said, Bill Belichick, don't tell me what he can't do. Tell me what he can do, and let's do that. Let's do more and more of it. That's what Sean Payton is doing with Bo Nix. He's found the things that Bo Nix does well. Let's do that first. Let's hone in on that and then allow him to mature. Work from that out. I talked about Cam last week. For some reason, they wanted to work top to bottom. They wanted to start throwing the ball deep and then all of a sudden try. No. With Cam, a rookie quarterback without that much talent, can we work from the 5, the 7, the 10, and then up to the 30 or 40-yard passes? That seems to be helping Cam now. That helps Bo Nix. They're not looking to throw the ball down the field all the time. No, they're gonna hit you with these crosses, these outs, these intermediate routes, and then boom, we're going to hit you over the top. But I'm getting my quarterback in sync with the offense. I'm doing the things that he's best at. Willie said it, running the football. Add that to his repertoire. You start to see Cam starting to do that more. Now they need a coach to come in here and sort of unlocks all of that, but in a way that it helps Cam and not hurt him.
One thing that makes Bo Nix unique, Willie, is the fact that he is on the run on a lot of his dropbacks. And I said this yesterday after you left the show. Cam Ward's superpower, for lack of a better word, looks like it's going to be his ability to scramble. His touchdown to Jeffrey Simmons on Sunday. Other examples of him making really impressive throws after having to scramble. I'm wondering and sort of hoping that the next Titans coach, as I just said, can take a page out of the Sean Payton Bo Nix playbook and get Cam Ward throwing on the run a little bit more.
That's a really good question, because I watched the Broncos last week. That's the game I got on Sunday. I was in St. Louis. And the other game was the Lions game, which was a pretty good game. The Rams were really good. But I just really think that the design of the offense is a great fix, a great fit for Bo Nix. It's the designed rollouts. He throws very comfortably on the run. He was really sharp, and he can run to keep you honest. I don't know. They have better personnel than the Titans do.
Yes.
Quite a bit better. But, it's not blow you away. R.J. Harvey's a rookie. Cortland Sutton is a nice player. I don't think we would consider him one of the best wide receivers in the game, but he's good. He's better than what the Titans have. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if Ward is as fluid throwing on the run. I want to see more of that. But it's really not the design of the offense. So it does go back to the central question you've asked, and I think it's a good one. The fit between the quarterback and the head coach is very important. And if your head coach isn't offensive guru kind of guy, that head coach has to understand who the right hire is to run the offense to fit the skill set of his quarterback.
And a lot of people want, I would say, well, a lot might be a stretch, but I'm going to use it anyway. A lot of people seem to want, A lot of people seem to want the Tennessee Titans to hire an offensive guru. We've heard Clint Kubiak, for example, the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. Someone called in last week and mentioned Bobby Slowick, the former Texans offensive coordinator, who is now working as a passing coordinator, I believe, with the Miami Dolphins, who, by the way, might be making a quarterback change. But we look at the types of coaches that have been engineering these turnarounds. I mean, Ben Johnson has an offensive background. Liam Cohen has an offensive background. Mike Vrabel certainly does it. Now he has Josh McDaniels, and that's part of the calculus. Would we feel better, or does it even matter, if the next head coach is offensive-minded, or would it be better to have a defensive-minded coach with an offensive coordinator who can develop that relationship with Cam Ward?
To me, it really – he if he is the play caller, meaning the head coach, I think he does have to be, and Willie said this weeks ago, what he wanted in a head coach, and it was right, like a leader of men, someone that can come in and command and demand and change the culture within his team. Listen, it can be an offensive-minded guy. It could be a defensive-minded guy. It doesn't matter to me. I just need someone that's going to shift and move the culture or the needle inside of that locker room. Because right now, there's no needle. It seems to be no culture. And I'm not saying it's like they're just – it's bad and they're just running amok. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is they've lost that identity. The Titans have lost the identity that they once had. And they need somebody that can help get it back. And if that guy turns out to be an offensive-minded guy, great. If he turns out to be a defensive-minded guy, great. It doesn't matter to me. He has to understand and know that when he walks in his locker room, he has to demand respect. He has to come in here and he has to change the culture of this locker room and get it and have them form an identity, because right now, those two things they don't have. The culture is not there the way it needs to be. Jeffrey even said that. And they just need to continue to build on what they once had. Now, how do they get that back? I don't know. But it starts with hiring the right head coach to set all of that in motion.
And here's the brain teaser for you as we go to the break. Wouldn't we have said this last year about Washington? Well, hey, they signed the right coach, Dan Quinn. He's a head coach. He's got that culture building thing, and they've got the right quarterback in Jaden Daniels. They had a great year last year. They're 4-10 this year. Now, before you say, well, because Jaden Daniels is hurt, they're 2-5 with Marcus Mariota starting, and they're 2-5 with Jaden Daniels starting. So it's not just that Jaden Daniels is hurt. So it's a razor's edge. You can have it. You think you've got it, and then poof. It's gone. One of these teams we're talking about this year, they're going to have a season like Washington's having next year. I guarantee it. That's just how this league works.
615-737-1025. We will take your reaction. Is a Titans turnaround as simple as hiring the right coach? And who would you hire to help the Titans turn things around? 615-737-1025. Remember, we do have Music City Bowl tickets to give away. We will be doing so in the 4 o'clock hour. But I'm not going to tell you when, so you need to be listening for me to tell you when. But we are going to do it in the 4 o'clock hour. 615-737-1025. Speaking of things to win, tomorrow between noon and 3, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win a $100 Moments Piece Salon and Day Spa gift card, and you can also qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. It's the 12 days of Christmas on 1025 The Game.
You know, it's become a negative thing. I don't know why, because the best quarterbacks of all time manage the game at a high level. I think the biggest difference is when the time comes down to it, they just find ways to make either an explosive or make another play. So, you know, all the good ones, all the great ones that win, they manage the game at a high level. Now, some are just more flashy, and I think they don't have that, you know, that context or that tag. But it really doesn't matter, because, you know, your job as a quarterback, execute the play that's called, get your team in the end zone, and at the end of the day, have more points than the other team and find a way to win. And that's what we're managing to do.
That was Bo Nix addressing the game manager label, which I think is a naughty set of words, a dirty set of words for a lot of people, a lot of quarterbacks. You don't want to be known as a game manager. And Bo Nix, you know what? He don't care.
No,
team's winning.
There he does.
There you are. There you are. Welcome back.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And listen, they are, because if you look at it, because you asked about Denver and what would sort of be the, is that a better sort of comparison?
Because of Bo Nix.
Exactly.
Versus Cam Ward.
And how close they were.
As close as they were. Considered in terms of their pre-draft evaluations,
exactly,
compared to Caleb Williams and Trevor Lawrence and Drake May, all of whom were much more highly regarded than Nix and Ward coming
out. Those three guys were what, top five guys?
Yes.
On that list. But you look at Bo Nix, and what the Denver Broncos have been able to do with him. Now, granted, it may take a few years for the Titans to get that defense back to where it once was. And I'm not saying it can't happen overnight, but realistically, it may take to get them back to being a top two or three defense. It may take a year or two. But in the meanwhile, I do believe that this formula that Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos and that coaching staff is using with Bo Nix is a formula that the next head coach, whoever that head coach is, slash offensive coordinator or offensive coordinator the head coach hires, there is a template there for it. I just looked at Bo Nix's his passing chart. Bo Nix completes he attempts the most of his pass. The majority of his passes are attempted between 0 and 5 yards. The majority of his passes. Middle of the field, 0 to 5 yards, he's attempted 110 passes. And he's completed 87 of them. To the left, 0 to 5, 52 completed 39. To the right, 62 completed 47. As you start to get higher, the attempts go down drastically. Middle of the field, 10 to 15 or 20 yards, he's attempting 25 throws. To the left, 23. To the right, 31. What is that telling me? That's telling me that they're doing all their damage in the intermediate routes, short to intermediate routes. And they are getting the ball in the receiver's hands and allowing the receivers to do their job. The quarterback's main objective is to find the right guy in any particular pass play that is called. Find the guy that the defense – find the weak spot in the defense and then find that guy. And get him the ball as quickly as possible and then let that guy do the rest of the work.
It works well because they have a good defense, mm-hmm. and they know most weeks they don't have to score 30 points. Mm-hmm. They know their defense is going to keep them in it. It's certainly not a dominant offense.
No, it's not.
What I've seen is last week, they did have to score some games. They were behind. Of course, they benefited because Micah Parsons blew out his knee with the Packers in the lead mm-hmm. at the time. But to their credit, the Broncos, they made the key plays at the key times. That's what I'm seeing from Bo Nix. The stats don't blow you away. He's just 89.5, mm-hmm. 89.7 with his passer rating, which is 18th in the league, 59.1 QBR, which is good, but not great. But the offense, all they need to do is be good because they have a great defense. So it works hand in hand. What's the term that Mike Vrabel uses all the time? Complimentary football. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Rob on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. Rob, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I mean, just listening to you guys. You guys are being very, very nice about Cam. To me, he was a first-round draft pick. And, I mean, really, don't nobody expect him to come in and just save the world. But this guy, to me, I mean, we don't seen enough. The fans have seen enough. I can speak for most of us, have seen enough. This guy is just not showing it. I mean, you take the way he throws the ball, he does not. And again, I'm not no guy that don't play football. But I don't play football, but not professionally. But, you know, he does not, to me, he don't give the receivers enough time. Boy, it's all off sync. You'd be asking yourself, where is this guy? I mean, what is he thinking? Is he even thinking about the timing that he's throwing the ball, or is he just trying to get rid of the ball because he don't want to get hit? And to me, when a guy is throwing, I was told when a guy is throwing and trying to run, I mean, there are certain ways, I mean, certain times he do that because he don't want to throw against his body or something, I think. And then the other thing I want to point out is, you know, it all starts up in the front office up there. I mean, they can make all these, you know, changes out here, getting quarterbacks and all that. They got to have somebody in there that knows how to draft. If you don't have nobody that knows how to draft, what do you get? To keep on getting the same old, same old. Then I'm going to make this last point here. You know, whenever a company out here, if you're in the real world out here, when they start to have these issues or these problems, what do they do to fix the problem? They start right up at the top. So then, you know, they get the problem fixed. You cannot solve your problems if you're trying to work them from the way they work.
Thank you for the call, Rob. We appreciate the call. A lot to digest there from Rob. But again, it speaks to the what's the word I'm looking for here? The doubt in Cam Ward,
the impatience
with Cam Ward. Number one overall picks can be quite polarizing because not every number one overall pick is going to be what we all think of when we think of a number one overall pick. And I said this yesterday regarding Cam Ward, and I will reiterate it here. Barring something unforeseen, your opinion of Cam Ward is not going to change over the next 3 weeks. The Titans have three games left, starting Sunday against the Chiefs at Nissan Stadium. Unless Cam Ward has three consecutive 400-yard games, those of you who do not like Cam Ward are going to go into the offseason disliking Cam Ward. On the other hand, if you believe that Cam Ward and his struggles this season are a product of his environment, you are still going to think that during the offseason. So ultimately, I'm hoping, frankly, I'm sort of hoping for him to have one big game. I know I talked about this yesterday.
But I think what the caller is pointing out is what I feel like we're moving towards. If he makes an explosion and becomes a dominant quarterback, I will be surprised. I just don't think we're seeing a Josh Allen, a Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know that he can get there. Okay, and that's and that's where I'm going because we've had a good conversation about Bo Nix. Bo Nix, I don't think is that guy either. But they're playing to his strengths. They have good pieces around him, and they're winning a lot of games. I think that's the formula if we're being realistic. And it will always be a little disappointing because, like, hey, he's the first pick in the draft.
Right.
I think we have to get over that. And I think you have to hope that you have a winning quarterback in the right system, which makes it more of a priority to, as the caller said, draft well, get good players. You got to have that. And right offensive guy to fit Cam's skill set.
Well, Derek, that clip we played coming back from break of Bo Nix, he was asked a question in the news conference about the label game manager and how he feels about being labeled a game manager. And you heard his response. He said the best quarterbacks in the league manage the game well.
Yeah, they all do.
But game manager is often used as an insult toward a quarterback. Like, oh, you know, the team around him won. He's just a game manager. The problem is if Cam Ward develops into a Bo Nix-like quarterback and is considered a game manager, people are going to be pissed. Because you don't draft game managers. I'm using air quotes here, which you can't see unless you're watching the stream. People don't want the number one overall pick to be a game manager. But as Willie said, perhaps that's what Cam Ward ultimately will be. That doesn't mean the Titans can't be successful if he's like that. And Bo Nix, in my opinion at least, is an example of that.
Listen, we've all done it and are guilty of it. We've attached this moniker of game manager as being something bad, as being, oh, you just don't have the talent, but, you know, you're out there and it's really the people around you. Every quarterback will tell you, the great ones and the not so great ones. If you can't manage the game, you ain't going to even get an opportunity to be a great quarterback in this league. Every quarterback, and listen, people, every quarterback is tasked to manage the game. But if you want to be great, you need to win some of those games. You need to take it from being just a manager, and when that moment shows up, the greatest thing about Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees ain't the stats. I can't give a damn about the stats. It's that they showed up in the moments they need to show up. They managed the game, the whole game, in that one moment, that's what separates the great ones from the good ones. There are moments within the game that that great player, he elevates it, or that great player makes that play. But beyond that, he's just been a game manager. He finds the right spot to throw the football. He dissects the defense. He sees where the weak spot is, and he throws it there. That's what the elite ones do. And when they need to turn it up a little bit more in those crucial situations, they do. Cam is not there yet, people. Trevor Lawrence was drafted first overall. He wasn't there yet. That's who we need to be comparing him to.
Who's that?
Trevor Lawrence. Not from the fact of the talent. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking. But both of those guys were number one picks in the draft. And they were getting ready to run Trevor Lawrence out of there too. They talked all. And now all of a sudden, now something's been unlocked in him. But it took a few years. He had some ups and downs. It took some injuries. It took a few years. Now he's closer to a finished product than not. Why can't we give Cam that same grace? We talked about the organization being impatient. I'm using air quotes. Impatient. Y'all impatient. Y'all are impatient with a rookie. Think about this. Listen to me very closely. Y'all are impatient with a rookie quarterback with not much talent around him. Just think about that, people. Think about that. Just sit down, like, realistically, take your emotions out of it. Think about that as we go to break.
615-737-1025. We'll hear what Derek has to say on the other side of the break. Also on the other side of the break, I will tell you when you can win tickets to the Music City Bowl. We have a pair of tickets to give away. I will reveal the timing of the giveaway coming up next. 615-737-1025. Let me tell all the fine folks out there that we are sponsored by Bags Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com.